Blog Talk Radio.
Monkeypox or moneypox? Black people, let's not be fooled. We'll be discussing that in just a couple of minutes.
It's already on.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will be on the Blog Talk Radio site at that time. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to invite you to join. We want your feedback on past Dare to Win programs as well as topic suggestions for future programs. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Shibaka, who, like me, is a member of Ulu. Peace, Brother Shibaka. How are you doing tonight?
Peace to you, Sister. I'm doing very fine. Can you hear me? You know, we had that little difficulty the last time I called in. You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you very well tonight. Yes,
good. I am so happy. And greetings to the to listening family. Always a pleasure to come on and share and exchange information with you.
Okay, glad to have you here. So, Brother Shibaka, please begin tonight's discussion. Monkeypox or moneypox? Black folks, let's not be fooled by explaining what is this monkeypox.
Yeah, thank you so much, very much for the question, Sister. Before I get into a lengthy explanation of monkeypox, I got to set a context because a lot of us, you know, we've been bombarded by the media, and as a consequence, particularly certain media, and usually the media is the commercial media, which is owned by a number of small families or corporations, and they in turn dictate what kind of information is shared and what information is not shared. And we know this because I'm sure that some of the listeners on there know that certain people have been censored based on information that they share, just to show you the extent in which this government, the corporations, are intertwined in order to keep certain information out and other information that is not desirable in. But let me talk a little bit about the medical situation that we find ourselves in today, via that we got monkeypox, we got COVID, we got SARS, and a whole bunch of other stuff. At the end of the 1800s, early 1900s, J.D. Rockefeller, who incidentally was classified as the first billionaire, now he was a billionaire 120 years ago, so what would that make him now, about a trillionaire? Well, anyway, he and Standard Oil, which was king at that time. But what Rockefeller did in order to make his money was he not only used certain kind of enterprises in order to gain control and enrich himself, he saw those as an opportunity to control. And a lot of times we get confused about the nature of capitalism, you know, which is this is a capitalist kind of structure, but it's not really capitalism because it doesn't abide by the rules of really competition in the market. There is no competition. And in capitalism, as we learned in the books, as Marx learned it, it does away with competition and move towards consolidation of resources. And then you see people extending their control in other kinds or other types of market. But anyway, John D. Rockefeller at the end of the 1800s and 1900s, with his wealth in Standard Oil, began to invest in medical schools. Now, that's interesting, invest in medical schools. I mean, it wasn't like he was concerned about the health of his employees. No, he was concerned about another profit area in which he could exploit. He found out, his scientists found out, that there was a definite relationship in the refinery of oil and some of the pharmaceutical products that was made at that time. Around that time, at the end, people were engaged in not necessarily homeopathic type, but similar to homeopathic stuff that we find practiced on the African continent, except they was bringing cures that they had identified based on their experience in Europe, and then coming here, experience with the wilderness as they experience here, seeing what the Native American use and what have you, and they begin to use those remedies. And then what they did was refine those remedies, improve on those remedies in these schools that were set up. Well, Rockefeller, you know, took control of the schools, all right, and as a consequence of taking the control of the schools, all right, he injected his own brand of medicine, which was profitable. And the paradigm which he set, which you practice today, is that the intent of the medical establishment today is not to cure you of anything. It
right.
is to treat and sustain mm-hmm. and put you on medication for your life. Therefore, you have to consume and buy these medications, which means that the pharmaceuticals make money. All right. So their mm-hmm. thing is not necessarily to treat and cure. It's to treat, but not to cure. Now, as a mm-hmm. consequence of its chemical base associated with petroleum, you know, a lot of the products, all right, if we're not done or given in the absolute correct amount, and if they were not necessarily blended to form a real health mitigation of the injury or illness that you had, became poisonous, which is why when you you know, you take aspirin, which you take for the relief of headaches, but you know, you look at that mm-hmm. long list of side effects from aspirins, you can see now just the aspirin, you know, can cause a whole bunch of stuff. So John D. Right. Rockefeller took that over, you know, during the early part of the 20th century. And as a consequence of taking that over and introducing his own brand, the medical establishment was set. We also know, all right, and that was brought up, I think, I was made aware of it some weeks ago, and I think I talked about it or may have talked about it, that during that period of time, particularly that Rockefeller, particularly the Rockefeller Institute or Foundation, which became later the Foundation, but the Rockefeller Institute at the change of the mm-hmm. Century, all right, was actually experimenting with syphilis. Now, this was some 20 to 30 years before experimentation with Africans in Tuskegee. You hear what
okay.
I'm saying now? Okay, mm-hmm. yeah, he was experimenting with syphilis, because remember now, he had to test his products. Remember now, the products that he was making as a consequence of his refining of oil, and then mm-hmm. the budging pharmaceutical corporation, he had to test products on various diseases that was known at that time, all right? Syphilis
right.
was a known
right.
Disease, all right, at that time, okay? He wanted to test it on blacks, which is one of the reasons that and he used to fund Booker T. Washington's Tuskegee Institute, his foundation, and a number of other people funded it because they were looking at blacks serving one purpose, but Booker T. had in his mind blacks to serve another purpose, which is not necessarily the purpose in which whites wanted to serve. But to the white man, particularly to the eugenist, and he was Rockefeller was a eugenicist. All right. He wanted to see the impact of this on blacks, on treating blacks and how they would respond, not treating blacks, but see how they would respond, all right, to syphilis infection. All right. He wanted to do that. Booker T. Washington refused. And we know after his meeting, after he went to New York, got sick, was poisoned, they say, came back to Tuskegee and died in November of 1915. Mm-hmm. But now this was some almost 20 years before the experiment, and we know that the Rockefeller group was already engaged because they were getting immigrants, you know, European, particularly Southern European and Eastern Europeans who was coming over here from Europe mm-hmm. and testing them. So he needed to see what this thing would be on black. And as a consequence,
right.
As a consequence, he was refused, that invitation was refused by Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington may have paid with his life as a consequence of that. Booker T. Washington mm-hmm. was much in love with African people, the black people, because he saw how hard they worked. He knew at the time of the skills and internet that we had coming out of the slavery period and what we mm-hmm. were able to amass and to do at that time. In fact, it was in Tuskegee, the surrounding areas, which were segregated with whites who used to come for trades, you know, for their houses, for their roads, all right, to look at the even the bulging car industry that was coming up at that time. They needed that. They were the mechanics. So this is what we were. That's what he was teaching, that, the trades, all right.
Right.
And so, and we know at that time it's also of the area in Tulsa in Oklahoma, which also was around that town, the early part of the 20th century, which in case we were doing a whole bunch of stuff. We were doing stuff mm-hmm. wherever we were planted. The white folks left us alone. We prospered. It wasn't until
Absolutely.
The 1960s we pushed integration, and that was the end of the road. But anyway, mm-hmm. it was out of that period, and I want to leave this with the family, is that Rockefeller and his cohorts set in motion the paradigm by which medicine is practiced today. And the way in which it is practiced today is to give you a pill to sustain your illness or to treat your illness, but to not cure you of anything. All right?
Right.
All right. In fact, because of its poisonous nature of the pills that we inject, you know, something else comes up wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. So now let's bring that up to today, all right, with this monkeypox, COVID, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Let me cite a few things here that I'm sure the family didn't know. In March of 2021, that was a year ago March,
mm-hmm.
all right,
mm-hmm.
there was
mm-hmm.
a tabletop, in other words, that means there was a gathering of scientists, intellectuals, intelligence, or what have you, that had a simulated exercise of a monkeypox outbreak, which took place. It was a fictional scenario, but it took place in March of 2021. All right. And this scenario was such that it predicted an outbreak of monkeypox. Check this out. In May of 2022, this year. Now, I'm saying monkeypox has existed, and I'll explain that as I go through here. But monkeypox has been around for a while, okay,
uh-huh.
and I'll tell you where it came from. But this scenario, there was no monkeypox, so-called pandemic, epidemic, outbreak, or anything in March that we know of, that they publicized in March of 2021. But they had this
right.
simulation of an outbreak, which they said would take place in May of 2022, and they looked at the preparedness
mm-hmm.
for it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly, this monkeypox exercise, check this out, was held by the Nuclear Threat Initiative, which is funded by Bill Gates. Let me repeat that again, because I know some of you just fell off your seat. This exercise in March of 2021, all right, was funded by the Nuclear Threat Initiative, which was funded by Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, the NPI, that's his acronym, was founded to assess. Now, this is what it was initially founded to do. It was to assess and reduce the threat associated with the proliferation of nuclear weapons. That's what it was designed to do. You say, well, how did it get into monkeypox? But now, they sensed the expansion of the biological threat. All right. In other words, there were certain groups, countries that were engaged,
mm-hmm.
all right, in biological warfare development. In fact, that's what they jumped into Saddam first. You know, first it was nuclear, and then with his next door neighbor, Assad, all right, in Syria, it was biological, okay, which was
mm-hmm.
during the Obama administration, okay. So they knew that there were countries involved in biological warfare development. Anyway, Gates had not only funded the NTI, the Nuclear Threat Initiative simulation, but also he had given grants, all right, to develop, check this out, he has also given NTI grants to develop vaccines. Hey, now.
Okay.
All right. Let me say that again, because he had a simulation that took place in March 2021,
mm-hmm.
over a month before the actual outbreak that we received in the news actually happened. All right. This was a nuclear investigative organization, all right, which he funded, mm-hmm. but it also was being funded in order to also look at the development of a vaccine that might also be associated with various biological threats. Now, mm-hmm. in addition to that, check this out. The report, or the final report for this event that took place in March of 2021, was funded by the Open Philanthropic Project, which was funded by the Facebook co-founder, Dustin Meckowitz. He's a co-founder of Facebook. All right, he funded the final report of this thing that Bill Gates funded, of this exercise on monkeypox. All right, that took place mm-hmm. a year and 2 months before the actual outbreak.
Right.
All right. Now, that should make you begin to scratch your head. Now, all of this is online. You can go to that. Just put in there NTI, which is the Nuclear Threat Initiative. Just Google it. All right. Put Bill mm-hmm. Gates in there. Put the simulated exercise with monkeypox. All of this information will pop up, you know. We're off looking at the cartoons, all right, and we're looking at the game, and see, there's other people that are doing some treacherous stuff, all right. Well,
right.
I'm too old now to look at the game. Well, I guess I'm not too old to look at the game, but I'm gonna try to find out some of the treacherous stuff that these other posts are doing. Let's bring this home a little bit. The first European case of monkeypox. It's the first European case, all right, and this was in the UK, England,
mm-hmm.
was confirmed in May of 2022 of this year. All right, now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now wait a minute. Now, keep that in mind. I'm giving you the timetable. All right. Then seemingly, it looked like overnight in May. Now, remember that this is in England. In May of 20th of 2022. Mm-hmm. The World Health held an emergency meeting to discuss the outbreak of more than 100 suspects. I mean, now look, the World Health got involved in this because 100 people had this outbreak. Now you say, well, why would the World Health Organization be concerned about an outbreak of 100 people? All right.
Right.
Well,
right.
I scratched my head on that too. But anyway, what might be a plausible reasoning is that monkeypox supposedly originated in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which used to be called the Belgian Congo, which used to be called Zaire, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a strain. That strain was supposed to be the most contagious and technically the most deadly. Now, when I say it was the most contagious, it's most deadly. In other words, one out of 100 people that might have gotten monkeypox in the Belgian Congo or Democratic Republic of the Congo, it was so deadly, one out of 100 might die. And then if there was another strand that happened in West Africa, particularly from Nigeria over to the West, which was less virulent, something like maybe a point something would die out of 100, all right? In other words, it was less than 1%. But anyway,
right.
the strand that is supposed to operate, and I might have had that reversed. I think it was, it's the Belgian one that was the most, I think we got the strand that is supposed to be here is the one that is operating in West Africa. We're not supposedly the one that is happening in the rest of the world. So it's less contagious and deadly as the one that is happening in that. But the first one was in Zaire, and I will tell you about that in a minute. Okay, the World Health Organization, all right, got concerned when they had 100 cases that popped up in 9 European countries. Well, now you take 9 and divide it into 100. So 10 cases pop. 10, you know, you got countries that got millions of people, then they get 10 cases, all right? So they got concerns. So Tedros, who is the Director General of the World Health Organization, called a meeting. All right, he brought his advisory group there. His advisory group said, "No, I don't see an emergency." I mean, you know, because they looked at the numbers at that time; it was very small. All right, so what he did was disbanded his emergency group and took it upon himself to declare a state of emergency of international proportion, almost similar to what he did with COVID. All right, so this happened in May. Now, the first case that happened in the U.S. Was May 18th. You know, all this stuff is popping up in May. Now, remember now, the disease originated in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which was once called Zaire, which was once called the Belgian Congo. All right, that's where it started. Uh-huh. And then a lesser strain, evolved in the West African states. All right. And I'll tell you when that happened. All right. But anyway, the first case that happened here in the United States was May 18th, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, by a few days later, May 23rd, monkeypox cases popped up in New York, Florida, and Utah. Now, we're talking about 2 months from now, okay? 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. These cases, I want to show you how long monkeypox has been popping up. Now, I want you to keep in mind, now that's the timeline, but now let's look at the distance. All right, to go from Zaire straight up to the UK, all right, is about 5,000 miles.
Okay.
All right, so now, I mean, if there's going to be transmission, and I'll tell you about the transmission in a minute. If there's going to be transmission, whoever was transmitting, whoever was contagious, had to go from Belgian Congo, because that's the strand that we got, or rather, we got the strand of Nigeria, which is essentially the same distance, maybe by about maybe 500 miles less. All right, to the UK. All right, and then it popped over to several other European countries, and then it popped over to the United States. All right, in New York states that I have, Florida, jumped down to Florida, and then went over there to Utah, which is in the West. All right, so this these people who have traveled, now we might say, well, Shabaka, maybe it's more than one person that traveled. Well, that's a possibility, all right, because Africa is always traveled by life. But one thing we know, if the cases started in Africa, we know that the people who were going to all of these other places more than likely were not Africans. They were not Africans. They were more likely Europeans because they're the ones who had the resources to do the kind of traveling, all right, we had to visit these places here. Interestingly, and I say interestingly because it's according to WHO, CDC, all right, the European equivalent of CDC, Australian Health Agency, you know, who have looked at these cases, 98.7% of these cases, all right, were found to be with men who were homosexual males, men who have sex with men. 98.7%.
98%. Wow. Okay.
All right. So essentially, 99%.
So why does everybody need to be vaccinated?
Well, because of the same reason that's during the AIDS epidemic, you know, the initial start of the epidemic were with men who had sex with men, homosexual males. But I don't want to trash, because people say, Shabaka, you trashing the homosexuals and all this other kind of stuff. You know, people, you know, have their lifestyle. If they don't bother me, I don't bother them. I don't like what I know about their lifestyle, because I think it can be harmful the way they do things. But then that's their choice. As long as they don't bother me, I'm not going to bother them. The thing is that the homosexual males that seem to contract this, homosexual males that are have multiple partners. Okay, so they don't just have a love affair with just one man. They seem to have their see multiple partners, and they might have multiple partners per night.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Now, but that's not the end all. It just seemed to prop up with this. Somebody's got to address the question, why is it propping up among these people? Because most people, heterosexuals, have sexual relationships. All right, they have in close contacts with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so why all of a sudden homosexual males? And see, that's a question I don't have the answer to, but I'm just citing what they claim. All right, this is a lady that's coming here. This thing is going 4,000 or 5,000 miles, all right, and it seemed to be proliferating throughout the globe. And as it's proliferating throughout the globe, you know, you have to ask yourself, how is it doing that when it has an origin in Central and West Africa, and it's proliferating out the globe? And most of the European countries have cases. And in fact, to date, there's roughly 40, slightly over 40,000 cases worldwide. Interestingly, there's about 16,000. Say again?
Since May, 40,000 cases?
Since May.
Okay.
The first reporting was May 7th. Okay? We haven't approached September yet, all right? So we're not 3 months into this so-called epidemic. All right, so 40,000 cases supposedly has happened mostly in Europe and the United States and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 16,000 and a little over 16,500 cases has happened here in the United States since May. And the first appearance was May 18th in the United States. All right, so that's just a little over 2 months ago. Okay, now the concern that they have is the proliferation. Now let me tell you what's going on with this. Now, notice I said the term cases. I didn't say that these people were sick. I said cases. The same way that I define and characterize cases when we used to talk about COVID. Cases mean that they had a test and tested positive. And then the test that they're using, if you remember, the test that they're using is the PCR test. All right?
Okay.
The PCR test. All right, if you have what they call the PCR test, is a test that you take a little bit of the genetic material that you can find, all right, and you compare that, someone who's gay, who have given or acquired a genetic sequence, and they see that part of that sequence is the genetic material that you acquire, all right, and then they blow it up just to make sure, because, you know, a virus is a very small element. You can only see it. And you can't really see it that well with an electron microscope. And then you have to get an interpretation. All that stuff that you see on television, it doesn't look like that. That is just that is just a digital
CGI
replicate, right, so that it gives you an idea of this. It doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like that under the electron microscope. All right. So they give you this because they have to show you these spikes coming out, and these spikes are supposed to be the things that latches on to cells and provide a vehicle by which the genetic material inside the virus can then be used to go inside the cell and then replicate itself. All right, so they don't know. So these are cases, and usually the founder of the PCR test says that if, you know, it does amplification like a machine that you use to Xerox, you know, material, make it larger, and you keep blowing it up, all right, so that you can see it better and better. Well, they have what they call cycles, and they say if you do this more than 25 cycles, that the material that you're looking at becomes so distorted, it will give you a false positive, and in 97% cases. So I don't know what the cycles are, but I know that we're getting a lot of cases the same way we were getting a lot of cases with COVID. And they were using the PCR test, which is not a confirmation test that you have a disease. The only thing that the PCR test says is that you have a piece of the genetic material as long as you keep it below 25 cycles. If you can't confirm below 25 cycles, over 25 cycles, you got a false positive. Well, anyway, they have these cases. Yeah, mm-hmm. Go ahead. You seem like you had a question.
No, I'm just listening. It sounds like SARS, COVID-19 all over again. But
well, it is, because if you think about it, SARS COVID-19 is dying out. They keep trying to come up with different manifestations of this. We had Omicron, but they said Omicron really wasn't injuring anybody, but they were still pushing mm-hmm. out the vaccine. Now, the vaccine had not been tested on – vaccine was only tested to supposedly deal with COVID, SARS-CoV-2, which was the virus that was responsible for COVID-19. Now, once the variants came about, a vaccine doesn't – your immune system can maybe adjust to any manner mm-hmm. to any mutation of a virus, but see, the vaccine is only specific. It looks at only
okay.
that which you try to make it comfortable to address. But after that, you know,
okay.
you have to go in and get another vaccine. So when Omicron came,
mm-hmm.
Omicron came after Delta and a whole bunch of them. So they didn't go back. They didn't go back to look at what they needed to do in order to get Delta or Omicron. All right, so the variants popped up, but they was using the same vaccine, at least as
mm-hmm.
reported, as was reported in the news, the commercial
okay.
news. Well, anyway, now let's take a look at the effort of the administration. All right, the administration, now, with this outbreak of about 16,000 now, the administration aim is to try to vaccinate, based on the 16,000+ cases, people who are at risk. Well, of these 16,000 cases, 99% of them are men who have sex with men, homosexual males, all right? And these are the
mm-hmm.
homosexual males that are promiscuous. These are not the ones that,
in long-term relationship. Okay.
You have a long-term relationship. Okay, these are
mm-hmm.
the ones who are promiscuous, go out on gay day and, try to have whatever they call it, sex, with
mm-hmm.
everybody that they can come in contact with. This is what we're talking about. All right. And I want to
okay.
make it sure. So if people say, well, it's from close contact with people and for lengthy close contact with people. So therefore, if you're having, multiple sexual relationships with folks, and you have long-term relationships and engagement with these people, more than likely you could possibly transmit the disease. Now let's talk about the money. Can we talk about the money, Sister Q?
You always talk about the money. It's always about
always
the money.
It's always about the money. The Biden-Harris administration remains committed, this was in an article, remains committed to working
mm-hmm.
with the urgency to detect more cases. Well, they didn't mean more infections, because
mm-hmm.
the case doesn't indicate that you're infected unless you have a symptom.
Right.
All right. All right.
Sure.
So to protect those at risk, which at this point in stage are mostly promiscuous homosexual males, and respond rapidly to the outbreak, President Biden has stated that the strict quarantine protocols are not likely to be implemented in the United States. He has, however, placed $119 million order for monkeypox vaccination. All right, this is brother President Joe Biden. All right. Belgium,
mm-hmm.
on the other hand, has introduced a 21-day quarantine for anyone who tests positive. That's with the PCR test. And the UK is urging everyone to voluntarily, isolate themselves for 21 days. All right, you're not required. All right, all of this has happened in the last 2 months. All
right.
Right.
Okay.
All right, all of this has happened in the last 2 months. Now,
mm-hmm.
what is this vaccine that we're talking about that all of a sudden it pops up? I mean, he's
mm-hmm.
ordering vaccines. Now
right.
we know that a year ago you had the this simulation of an outbreak. All right, so now
mm-hmm.
we're in the actual outbreak. So where is the vaccine coming from? But remember now, and I said that monkeypox has been around for quite a while. All right, and they had and they had vaccine for it. But guess what they had the vaccine for? The vaccine it was for actually smallpox outbreaks. Now, smallpox that hadn't been outbreaks been eradicated, they say. All right, but there was vaccine that's been stored in case there was another outbreak. Now, smallpox and monkeypox are cousins to each other. In fact, you might say that they're siblings. They're brothers and sisters, or brothers and brothers and sisters, all right?
All right. Okay.
So they are very much related, and they found out that the, at least this is what was have been reported, all right, is that the vaccine that is can be used for smallpox can also be used to treat monkeypox. All right, keep that in mind. Now, with today's National Monkeypox Strategy, the United States is significantly expanding deployment of vaccines. That's the smallpox vaccine. Keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Allocating 290,000 doses over the coming weeks, 56,000 of which will be allocated immediately, and in the months to come, 1.6 million additional doses will become. Now, that's in the news. I'm just reading the news. I mean, that was in one of the, so they've already, so the administration in 2 months now is already planning the deployment of 1.6 million additional doses of smallpox vaccine. All right.
Okay.
Smallpox
so,
vaccine. They don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. You said the smallpox.
No, I'm saying smallpox vaccine because they haven't developed. They haven't because they have learned. That's what they claim. They have learned that the smallpox vaccine can be treated to treat monkeypox vaccine since it is so closely related to the outbreak now. Now smallpox is not there. It's gone. All right. Now, sister, I know that the family can't see this, but I'm looking at it. In front of me, I'm looking at a picture, I'm looking at a picture of a hand, and supposedly this hand is illustrations of the outbreak of what the monkeypox would look like. Now, I see I got two pictures here, but it seemed to be the same hand. The caption under one hand is saying that this is what is asked the question about shingles. And this is out of Queensland, Australia. Now, the other picture looks at this and say, it's talking about monkeypox. Man, I'm looking at the two pictures. They are identical to me, but the caption under each of them are talking about two different diseases, and shingles is not related to monkeypox. Shingles is related to chickenpox, and chickenpox is not related to monkeypox.
Wow.
Monkeypox
okay.
is related to smallpox, all right? Smallpox, all right, and monkeypox are related. Shingles and chickenpox are related, but they're not related to each other. I mean, the
I get you.
Shingles is not related to monkeypox. Monkeypox is not related to chickenpox, okay? So I'm saying, but they're showing the picture, and the reason is that the media knows, you pick up a print media or something on the internet, they know that you don't know chicken pox from a needle pox. You know, they just throwing an image up there. They just throwing an image up there so that they can begin to dramatize the story and create the fear that this thing is what it looks like. Now, monkeypox, you know, small little bumps that pops up on you and they get infected. You know, they can. They're not right, you know, shingles are real close to each other. You know, the outbreak, they're real, these lesions that pops up are real close to each other. You don't necessarily get that with monkeypox. You can, but you don't necessarily get it. And if you looked at smallpox, a case of smallpox, you see these little things, but they're separate. You know, they could be, you know, maybe a quarter of an inch apart, but they are separate, and you don't see them actually coming into each other. In fact, a person with smallpox, you know, really is in very bad shape. Monkeypox look a little bit like that, but look less dense. In other words, the lesions are less dense on the body. And they last for, you know, they could last the incubation period for, in other words, for exposure till you begin to see an outbreak. might take 2 to 3 weeks. All right, then they form this little thing and a little lesions, you know, your pus fill of it. In the pus is the virus, all right, the viral load, as they call it. And then people, you know, as they come in close contact with each other, arms, arms, you know, hugging, kissing, and all that other kind of stuff, all right, these crusts can break, and then the lesions will expose the virus to the uninfected skin, and eventually can make it infected because then it comes in contact with them. Sometimes also on sheets and stuff like that, the lesion will leave residue, and then a person can lay in that residue. So that means you can pick it up. But you have to be in close contact with somebody. You have to be sleeping in the same bed of the person who is infected, and you have to, you know, and do a little bit more. And you have to be there a long time. If I just hug you automatically now, this is what the literature say, and you have lesions, and they haven't burst, you know, in other words, to produce the pus, all right, I'm not going to catch anything. So you have to be there for a while, all right? Now, I had to straighten out my sister, my granddaughter, who was concerned. You know, she said, well, I'm not gonna have anybody 6 feet. You know, 6 feet. I said, no, you don't have to worry too much about the 6 feet. And, you know, maybe about a half an inch, you know, might be a concern, but not to worry about. So she was getting confused because of the propaganda. She was getting confused, exactly. You know, based on, you know, COVID is going, this COVID says 6 feet, and now all of a sudden you got monkeypox that pops up, and then is talking about, you know, you got to watch out and be careful of that. So, sister, I wanted to tell you now, the articles that I shared, and I'm looking also at a graph which is showing how monkeypox began, and this one graph showed you that it began in, like I said, the Democratic Republic of the Congo around 1970. However, the Belgian scientists who were there, Belgian scientists, because they had control of the Congo at that time, had picked up that from a colony of monkeys, all right, in 1958, some 12 years earlier, and saw that they had outbreaks of some things. Now, they weren't convinced that the outbreaks was initially from the monkeys. In fact, they thought that they really came from the contacts of squirrels and mice and rats that might run through the jungles of Africa and West and Central Africa, and probably that was the contaminator. In other words, a lot of the viruses that we get, you know, they have what they call a zoological impact, means they have a reservoir in the animal kingdom. Now, the frightening thing about this is, and I know I've been speaking continuously long because I'm aware of the time, is that there are more animals on the earth than there are people. So you can't really get rid, you know, you can't get rid of some of these diseases except with a healthy and strong immune system, all right, because they're out there. Now, and I know we don't have time to go into this, but people can go into this. The literature shows that people who have been inoculated in the Western countries, about 60 to 75% of the Western world who were inoculated, have their immune system has been lowered. In other words, that means they are susceptible to catching diseases. In fact, they are what they call breakout cases. They catch COVID more frequently than those people who have not had. This is not Shabaka's literature. You can go on the WHO website. You can go on the World Health Organization website. They say so. I'm saying that the vaccines is not to aid in strengthening your immune system. It is to deplete the effectiveness of your immune system so that you catch diseases. And remember what I said about Rockefeller. Rockefeller developed a paradigm to treat, but not necessarily correct, all right, or the cure. The thing is to treat you because he makes more money, all right. The pharmaceuticals make money by you continuously taking their medication, all right. And so this is essentially coming out of the Rockefeller paradigm, which is over 120 and 30 years old, all right. And so what we see now And let me give you my take on the thing with the monkeys in 1958.
Okay.
These were Belgian scientists. So that means Belgian scientists were conducting research.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, 12 years later, they saw an outbreak, you know, in the African population in the Belgian Congo and West Africa. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Africans have been next to the wildlife in the forest for thousands of years. No
mm-hmm.
outbreak. The European right. gets there, outbreak. You getting my picture?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope you're getting my
right.
picture. There was no outbreak. They didn't identify outbreaks when they came in there. After they had been there during the colonial period, then they start discovering
mm-hmm.
outbreaks. And then we also
mm-hmm.
know that, hey, Rockefeller wanted to have tests on syphilis on men before the 1932 when we became aware
mm-hmm.
of it, back there at the turn of the 20th century. All right, so we know that
right.
the Europeans have been involved in that kind of behavior going back 130 or 40 years, all right, because they had
mm-hmm.
the colonial power. They had control of the South, where our people were mostly located at the turn of the 20th century. All right. All right. They had access to the schools. All right. And they had the money to influence those who they placed as principals or controllers of the
mm-hmm.
schools and couldn't influence
for
them.
Sure.
And they didn't do it with Booker T, which is why I think that he died. So, sister,
mm-hmm.
let me stop here. Maybe somebody might have a question because I've been going on for a long time. And I really want the family to ask questions, challenge me. I don't want nobody to believe anything that I said. I am not a virologist. I am not an epidemiologist. All right. I don't work in a lab. I used to work in a lab, but it was not necessarily associated with biological sciences, with the physical sciences. All right. But it does. That gave me an experience to be able to read some of these papers. All right. And
mm-hmm.
See the BS and look at some of this stuff to say something is BS. And I can pit out one. I can see words. A case. A case does not mean that you're sick. It just means
right,
that you
gotcha.
Test positive with a test. Now you have to see
mm-hmm.
the validity of that test. And if the inventor of that test says you can't use it to validate any sickness, you gotta take his word because he invented the test. Am I incorrect?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
Absolutely correct.
The PCR test because it's easy to use that test because they know that all they need to do is get a piece. They don't get the entire virus. They can't get the entire virus because that would take
mm-hmm.
a process where they have to get the whole virus. All right, they can't get the whole virus because the virus is mixed in with everything else in the cell. All right, particularly if the cell has been attacked, you know, by its own immune system because it doesn't want the infection to move to other cells. I mean, you have to look at it. I've seen a cell under the microscope. It doesn't look like you can picture anything. You might see some structures, the chromosomes where they make the proteins and stuff like that. You can see the nucleus
mm-hmm.
Of the cell, you know, but you can't see the inner workings. You cannot see a DNA.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
You cannot
mm-hmm.
see a DNA, you know. You can see something that says, well, that's what a DNA molecule look like, but you cannot see the
mm-hmm.
DNA. All right.
Right.
Now,
well, Brother
Shivaka,
we
nobody,
do not
nobody,
have any.
Yes, there's a call?
No, there are no hands up right now. So we can continue. Do you want to hit on the money angle briefly, or you want to go to
let me say a little bit more about the money, angle, because now remember now it's two months, so we're not getting a real big picture on it, except the only picture that we're getting is what Biden has. And Biden has
mm-hmm.
promised $119 million to buy some vaccines. That's his initial order, but it's going to be more than that because he has talked about not only getting that, but he's talking about, you know, coming up with 1.6 million doses, you know, for those who affected the affected community. And at this point in date, two
mm-hmm.
months out, you know, the affected community are mostly homosexual males, all right, at this time. Now, what do I think? I think that monkeypox is another opportunity for the world to see how how the people of the world respond. They are trying to finesse and control, and they and see how well their propaganda can scare people. You know, like my granddaughter, and I was really surprised that she got scared enough to get confused with COVID, because I thought that I instructed her about, you know, how this thing works. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And monkeypox, you know, there is no cure for monkeypox. They'll tell you the vaccine is the only thing that can use to treat. And that vaccine is not directed towards monkeypox. It's a smallpox vaccine. And they use it because supposedly it had successfully treated smallpox when it was prevalent, you know, a few years ago in Central and West Africa. So they don't have specifically. Now, remember now, viruses don't stay the same. Now, this virus might stay the same because it's so fewer people that it's supposedly infecting. It's got to be large number of people, and that'll allow it to mutate. The reason that we had large number of mutations happening with COVID is because they had an inoculation of large numbers of people, all right? So they had to infect large numbers of people. Your body actually made the infected tool that your body immune system attracted to. So that's why you got large number of people that got sick, you know. But, you know, you don't have large number of people. Now, there's 40,000 worldwide. We got almost 8 billion people. You know, that's a small number to me. And then most of the people don't die who contract it. And the only people that we find out who are dying that contract it, guess what? They have other comorbidities. All right.
Okay.
In other words, you know, as your immune system tried to adjust to attack the incoming pathogen, it's already involved in trying to deal with pathogens that you already experienced. And we know that in Central and West Africa, there's a number of diseases, all right, that the body is immune to. But the people there don't die. All right. And the people here, I mean, they had about 5 deaths out of 16,000 people in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That's 5 deaths.
And for that, they mobilized billions of dollars in vaccines. Okay.
They mobilized them millions of dollars, and they'll probably go into the billions of dollars to get these vaccines. Now, if you have it, and if you're a relatively healthy person, and you catch monkeypox, and family, I want you to listen to this. If you catch monkeypox, it takes it, all right, almost 2 weeks to incubate, which means then from the time you get exposed to the time you start, you know, getting sick, you know, headaches, fevers and all that, and then you start seeing the appearance of lesions. 3 weeks after that, all that stuff goes away. Now, yeah, that's it. It's gone. You hadn't had a shot or anything. That's the course of action that it takes. It appears, pus builds up, the body is fighting it, it's on with its own immune system. Then those things fall off, they crust, they fall off. You skin yourself up, and then you look normal. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, in a little over a month, right, you're not necessarily needing a vaccine, but remember now what I said earlier. The vaccine is to weaken the immune system, which allows you to, all right, have diseases and sustain diseases, because the justification pharmaceuticals are using is that they got to make money, and they can't make money if you're well. They need to make money if you're sick, or be treating you if you're sick, all right? So you got dialysis. They don't try to see how they can reverse the kidneys. They just want to get dialysis because they get big bucks from dialysis. They got dialysis all over the world. They introducing dialysis on the African continent, but usually dialysis is to the people that can pay. All right, these are the people that pay like European appetites. All right, and they start eating European foods. They start acting like Europeans, and the next thing you know, they got bad kidneys.
Bad
kidneys.
Sure.
You know, as I was telling a very close friend of mine, we were talking about cancer, and I told her, I said, I've been in Africa where I know that you can go to some places. I don't care what kind of disease you got that I know of, you can be cured on the African continent, because I've seen some people do it. All right.
Uh-huh.
I, you know, you know, it's just some mysterious stuff that happened on the African continent. And remember now, we're looking at the African continent through the eyes of Europeans. So if we're not on the African continent, we don't necessarily get the truth. All right. And then you can't
for
expect
sure.
your truth even from Africans who are wealthy who come and pops over here. Now, sister, let me say, how do we fight this madness? All right. Well, obviously, it's obvious that we have to have our own system. We have to set up.
Mm-hmm.
We have to set up a system, you know, that begins to look at us as human beings and to treat us and to keep us and make us well. We cannot venture off into the other allopathic medicine protocols. Now, the allopathic medicine protocol. I get hit by a car. Yeah, I take me to a hospital. Then as soon as I'm stabilized, I'm going to get the hell out. Okay? Because the allopathic protocol does not help me. It's only an emergency usage. I don't want it to try to address a disease. I can find people that I know that have experience to address any sickness or disease that I might come up with, and I don't have to go to them every month.
Right.
All right? And I had, I used to have three homeopathic physicians that I used to go to, all right? And now since I moved to the South, all right, I have two that I go to. The other one I think has retired and gone to the Caribbean where he's from. All right. So what we have to do is keep ourselves healthy with respect to monkeypox. No, monkeypox is not a death sentence. All right. Monkeypox will cure itself, you know, in a little over a month. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't, you know. You got to be conscious of who you interact with, all right? And then, you know, rest and get the best health that you can. You know, it's going to itch. Now, some of the males, homosexual males who have experienced the disease, they get a lot of these lesions around their genital areas, okay? And it's very painful because that area is extremely sensitive, all right? All right, so they have that, and they have to go to the hospital to be treated because they already got fever, all right, they got coughs, all right, and then they got the lesions coming up, and they got the lesion, you know, concentrated in the genital area, which is extremely painful for them. So they need the hospitalization. They need what they might feel because of the pain, immediate relief of the pain that they are experiencing, okay? And anybody else that is experiencing pain, you know, try to get a pain relief. If you can, but I'm saying, in a period of a little over a month and a half, you know, you hang in there, keep yourself clean, wash yourself. The main thing you got to do, you know, make yourself clean, you know, clean your sheets or whatever it is. And, you know, you might get through it. All right. But if you're going to have a lifestyle, which allows you to come in contact with a whole bunch of people, and you don't care about the health and safety of a whole bunch of people, then there's a possibility that you could, you know, transmit monkeypox, which could be, wherever the lesions come at, extremely painful. Ulu, and I know we ran over time, but I'm going to take a minute to do this. Ulu has the solution, and Ulu's solution is this. All right, we have talked about the Ulu-based collective. The Ulu-based collective are cells which are strategically placed in communities to develop the economic base. The economic base, seeing what kind of economic base can be developed, also lends itself to the development of the clinical hospitalization, the schooling, which tells you how to protect yourself, knowledge about your area, which you must do, all right, as you come in contact with other people, how to help those other people. That's what part of the process of the base collectors is. And the base collective school is strategically located in African communities. All right. That's our answer, is to empower them to get information. They'll get trained how to access the information. We have health centers set up. We got cultural centers set up so that we can pass out information that dictates to us how to take care of ourselves and wean ourselves, all right, from the addiction of the European health model, which is a model that kills us quickly. And so with that, sister, I'm sorry nobody chose to call in, but I enjoyed talking to you. I didn't give you too much chance to talk, but I knew I had a lot to talk about.
Right.
And,
well, that's, we're trying to get as much in as Yeah, we're trying to get as much in the hour as we can, so I try not to interrupt you.
I appreciate
that. So we can keep it moving. Yes. So we want to thank you, Brother Shabaka, for that information that you shared about monkeypox or moneypox and the history of it, because, you know, we think that the medical system that we are involved in now has always been. And so you remind us that it's a new system, you know, 100 years old.
100 years old.
Versus thousands of years of experience that we have. You know, we know how to handle some stuff. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, brother. And I look forward to having you come again and share some more information with us.
Thank you, sister.
I want to thank everybody.
Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. I want to thank everybody who joined us this evening, and we'd like to invite you to again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.